Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026 at 9:33 a.m. I am Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma President Dick Marzano, calling to order the special meeting of the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members and Port of Tacoma Commission. We will now enter into executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, parentheses F, for managing members to evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee. In RCW 42.30.110, parentheses small I, for the managing members and the Port of Tacoma Commission to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency's litigation or potential litigation to which the agencies, the governing bodies, or the meeting member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence. Action is anticipated in the public session that follows based on a portion of the executive session. This closed session will end by 11:30 a.m. and we will reconvene in public session at 12 p.m. Thank you. Good afternoon. I am Dick Marzano, Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma Commission President. It is June 2nd, 2026 at 12:16 p.m. I call the managing members and Port of Tacoma Commission special meeting back to order. Also present today is Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Seattle President Ryan Calkins, and Tacoma Commissioners, Commissioner Ang, Keller, McCarthy, and Wilcox, and Seattle Port Commissioners Cho, Fellerman, Muhammad, and Hasegawa is remote and listening to us. So we do have a large agenda today, but at the same time, we'd like to be able to expedite it to some degree because we have three commissioners that I know of from the Port of Seattle that are going to visit Maritime 253, and they're looking forward to that. So could you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first order of business is the Chief Executive's report, so I'll turn that over to you, John.
Okay, thank you, Co-Chair Marzano and Commissioners. Thanks to the public that's here on this beautiful June 2nd day. I have a list of items to highlight that are on the agenda, some of which are on the consent agenda, so I'll start there. On the consent agenda, we do have project authorization for replacement of a terminal capstan at our West Sikkim terminal. This is at the south end of the terminal where the capstan is used for replacement of a gangway to tie off vessels at the southern end of that terminal. And then also on the consent agenda, we have a request for authorization to accept additional dollars from EPA DERA grant funds. And these will be used for our domestic truck scrapping program. Next on the consent agenda, we have a request to enter into vessel service agreements with a number of our valued customers that utilize our EB1 operation. And these are regular vessel service agreements with annual increases. It's a healthy book of business for us in the non-containerized area. And then the last item that I wanted to highlight on the consent agenda is some paving maintenance in the Seattle Harbor at Terminal 18. And this is a five-year program, not unlike what we brought last month in the Tacoma Harbor for ongoing paving maintenance repairs to Terminal 18. Then shifting to the action agenda, the first item, 9A, is a revisit of our 2026 Seaport Alliance Cargo and Service Incentive Program. Since the last meeting and with some of the discussion we had with the commission and also with staff, we felt like there was an opportunity to pause on a portion of the recommendation on the incentive program so that staff could do a deeper dive on a couple of areas with the intent of this program to drive more cargo to the gateway and improve service delivery. We are, though, recommending one portion of the incentive program today, and that is the voyage consistency and on-time arrival incentive program. So we'll be presenting on that, and we expect that at a subsequent meeting, maybe as early as the July meeting, we'll bring back the balance of the program. Item B on the action agenda is a dual action with the Port of Tacoma, and this has to do with a proposed settlement for a litigation issue at the West Sikkim Terminal. Item C on the action agenda is, again, a dual action between the Port of Tacoma and the Seaport Alliance, and this has to do with authorization to utilize some property in the Tacoma Harbor for our deepening project in the Tacoma Harbor. The next item on the action agenda is a project authorization for improvements to the flexibility of the cranes at Husky Terminal by improving the vault plug-in area on the berth there at Husky Terminal. Item E on the action agenda is a paving condition assessment at Terminal 18. So separate from the paving requests over the 5 years, there's belief that there is a need to do an overall assessment for the underlying condition of paving at Terminal 18 so that we have a better sense of paving requirements into the future. And then item F on the action agenda is also focused on Terminal 18 and some transtainer runs that we want to install there to improve the operational efficiency of SSA's terminal operation there at T18. That funding will be reimbursed by SSA through their lease payments to us. And then the final item on the action agenda is a first reading of a proposed lease agreement between the Seaport Alliance and Van Line Bunkering at Pier 17 in the Seattle Harbor. So that covers the agenda today. And then I have one other item I wanted to highlight for the commission, and that is a recent declaration of emergency. So on Saturday, April 11th of this year, shortly before midnight, a vehicle collided with an emergency access gate on Alexander Avenue adjacent to our Pierce County terminal where Evergreen calls home. The cameras on the terminal recorded the event, yet the cameras were unable to capture identifiable details regarding the vehicle or its license plate, unfortunately. Staff started project development on a normal schedule, and on April 29th, the tenant notified the Seaport Alliance team that replacing the gate is critical because the gate provides access for emergency responders to PCT. The other terminal entry gates are frequently obstructed by trains and or trucks, and the Alexander Avenue gate is the only unobstructed entry point for emergency access into the terminal. In addition, the gate is part of the terminal's restricted area and cannot remain open without an officer stationed at the location. The replacement of the gate is the lessor's responsibility. Under the emergency declaration, we have set up a project not to exceed amount of $110,000. Currently, the estimated cost for repairing the gate is $90,000, and it's expected that the gate will be repaired and back in service mid-July. So with that, concludes my report, and I'll turn it back to Co-Chair Marzano.
Thank you. Just a real quick question. Did you say they found out who the person was?
No.
So they're still investigating?
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe we...
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately not.
Well, thank you.
Co-Chair Marzano.
Yes.
Any question?
Commissioner Hossegall.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. CEO Wolf, what was the date of the original accident?
April 11th.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, this is time now for public comment. There we had no one sign up for public comment, nor did we receive any documentation from outside to the clerk's office. But if anybody would like to say something now, feel free. Don't all run up there at once. Okay, thank you. This is now where we're in work groups. We have no work groups or committee reporting today, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. Items on the consent are considered routine and non-controversial and are taken up by one action and one vote. We've already heard four different items on the consent agenda from CEO Wolf. The next one, 8A, is to approve the May 5th, 2026 minutes. 8A2 is approve the May 15th, 2025 minutes. 8B is to approve disbursements totaling $17,904,991.43 on checks 2926 through 3056 in the amount of $3,663,754.02 and electronic payments in the amount of $14,241,237.41 issued during the period April 28th, 2026 to May 20th, 2026. Is there any request to have any items removed? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, where are we right now? I guess I'll turn it over to you, John, back to introduce the first item on the action agenda.
Okay, thank you. First item, 9A, is a presentation on and recommendation on the 2026 Northwest Seaport Alliance Incentive Program, Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival. And presenting today is Steve Belaski, our Director of Business Development. Welcome, Steve.
Okay, good afternoon, Commissioners, CEO Wolf. My name is Steve Belaski. I'm the Director of Business Development at the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And I'm here to request authorization for the 2026 Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival Incentive Award Program. So the formal action requested here today is request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize $1 million in funding for and establishment of a Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival Award Program. Based on current market conditions, feedback from Alliance carrier customers, and results from prior programs, the proposed Voyage Consistency and On-Time Arrival Award is expected to help incentivize consistent international ocean container service in the Gateway. And as CEO Wolf referenced in his opening remarks, staff continues to evaluate additional cargo incentive program concepts to drive sustainable volume growth and improve service levels at the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Staff intends to return with those details, a request for additional funding and program authorization once that evaluation process is complete. A little bit of background on this request. The Alliance is seeking longer-term industry behavior change by awarding and incentivizing reliable, consistent, and on-time international ocean container services at our gateway. We believe this has downstream positive benefits for the entire supply chain, leading to opportunities for sustainable volume growth at the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Consistent ocean container service can improve truck turn times at our marine terminal gates, minimize cargo dwell times, increase capacity for exports, improve well planning, and reduce costs of drayage inefficiencies. There is also significant potential for local environmental benefits from services that have better on-time performance. So a little more detail in terms of the benefits that we've seen from the Voyage Consistency Program, and this is specific to exporters, which are obviously very important to our gateway. We now are tracking data that correlates on-time arrival of our vessels and the consistency of our export receiving windows. And what that means is the export receiving window is when an exporter can return a fully loaded container to one of our terminals to be loaded on the ship. And this item is one of the top concerns that exporters consistently share with us that's most important. So what this graph is showing is that when vessels arrive more on time, the consistency of the receiving windows at our terminals is much improved. So what that orange line is demonstrating is the percentage of receiving windows that don't change once they're originally announced. And so that, so shippers and exporters can rely that that receiving window is going to be available as planned. And I have, in terms of April data, I realize this is through 2025, but in April, the ERD performance was actually 93%. So 93% of the windows were remained consistent. And the average vessel delay was about 1.7 days. And then I would also note that the average receiving window across our terminals is over 4 days. So at all of our terminals, you're having over four days to receive export cargo. In terms of the performance of the existing program, which again, last year, the managing members approved a similar program, this slide demonstrates the results of the first reporting period. So we actually had three services that met the metrics to be eligible for a financial award. So that would be no more than two voided sailings and arriving within 24 hours of their established pro forma. So this slide shows who received the financial awards and the amounts that were received. I would also note that just in general, our voyage frequency in terms of meaning how many, you know, most of our services are weekly and how many of those are showing up week after week, that voyage frequency percentages in Q2 was 88%. So 88% of our services are calling week in and week out. So you're seeing a good consistency. And by our measurement, the on-time performance overall on average is the best it's been since 2020. So with regards to the program that we're requesting, again, the eligible participants would be international ocean carriers serving the alliance. We are requesting $1 million for this year's program. This year, this would be a one-year program beginning June 27th and going through June 25th of next year. And carriers must achieve the metrics related to void sailings and on-time arrivals in order to be eligible for an award payment. And the top three ocean services carriers would be eligible for the monetary award. In terms of the source of funds, the two home ports are expected to receive funds totaling approximately $55 million from the Water Resource Development Act and Harbor Maintenance Tax in 2027, and similar amounts in future years. These funds will impact on the home port profit and loss statement and will not be reflected on the Seaport Alliance's P&L. The $1 million incentive will utilize cash generated from Alliance operations. The WERDA HMT funds received by the home ports will be used for eligible HMT projects that would have been funded by Alliance-generated operating cash that is now being used for this incentive program. The 2026 to 2030 operating budget includes $12 million per year for the incentive expense. Actual expenses may be based on recipient performance. This incentive program is expected to retain current volumes and encourage additional cargo volumes, and is unknown if it will result in incremental revenue compared to the budget because of multiple factors. And again, just as a reminder, we do intend to come back in the future to request more elements to this program and additional funding. So again, in conclusion, the request is that the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize $1 million in funding for an establishment of a voyage consistency and on-time arrival award program. And that concludes my remarks, and I'm happy to try and answer any questions.
Thank you, Steve. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Ng, seconded by Commissioner Keller. Questions and or discussion? Commissioner Ng?
I was going to say I do support this incentive because it's relatively modest
at $1 million, and it will help distinguish the Seaport Alliance, that we value reliability, consistency, and customer service, and recognizing that I see from the data that, you know, delivering strong on-time performance sends an important signal to the market, and it has all these different effects down the line in terms of behaviors by BCOs, exporters, importers, and our supply chain partners. At the same time, I do have, you know, moving forward with the, you know, rewarding performance, I kind of sometimes also think, are we rewarding performance that would have been delivered regardless of our incentive, or is this really just an incentive? So I'm glad that we're going to evaluate more as we move forward, but I do believe there is value in showing our value proposition to the market, distinguishing ourselves and marketing ourselves, and it is a modest investment into that. And I do like giving awards and recognition to people that are on time.
Thank you. Commissioner Keller?
Thank you. Thank you again for this and bringing this up. And I really appreciate the fact that CEO Wolf and yourself, you know, brought this into a little bit different form than last time. So I think that these are important. I think the other piece of it that I'd like to see is, because we talked about this in the work study session, we talked about pricing is important for carriers. We've heard that at TPM constantly. And I think we need to take a look at some other ways that we can adjust our costing to attract business. That's why we became the Seaport Alliance, is that so that we couldn't undercut each other, but we can certainly take a look at how we can do that with Canada, with regard to Canada and other ports as well. And I know that that would change potentially our net profit, but it would result in more cargo and more jobs, so which is also why we're here today. But I'd like to investigate that as well for the future.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you. Yes, I also support this. I think it's a modest proposal, and I appreciate that you're going back and reevaluating the existing options we discussed before, plus some potential ones that you've talked about. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Feldman.
So based on our previous conversation, you feel this provides you with the additional flexibility you were seeking, or is this strictly to the amount that we were just, this is strictly just for the rail service incentive? That we weren't we also talking about having other flexibilities for your incentive program? Was that separate from this?
Yeah, as Steve mentioned, staff took the feedback from commission and also our own feelings about it, and we felt like we owed it to ourselves to take the other aspects of the incentive program that we discussed with all of you and spend a little bit more time to make sure that if we're going to bring other pieces forward, that we get the intended outcome. And to do that, we felt like we should have some further staff discussion and also probably some further discussion with our customers. So expect that, as Steve mentions, we'll bring back something more. We don't know exactly when. It could be as soon as July meeting, it could be later. And know that we're further evaluating the other aspects of this incentive program, as Steve mentioned, to drive more discretionary cargo to the gateway, rail cargo, and also improve the service delivery of the gateway.
Okay, sorry if I missed that, but I remember we talked about the potential to just come back when you had it, and I thought the conversation was you didn't want to come back for additional funding, but this built in the flexibility so that you could spend the $30 million in perhaps a slightly different way than what you originally envisioned, so over the next 2 years. But so when we see the next proposal, it would potentially come with an additional financial ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Go ahead, Mr. Mohammed.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation. CEO Wolf, I recall when we first introduced this, there was elements of this that went hand in hand with supporting the trucker community. I think there was like some technical assistance that was supposed to go towards helping organizations that are providing services to them. As well as I remember there was some concerns that came up from those trucker communities in regards to this program and how it was working. Could you maybe share a little bit about how that has been addressed or if there's been any progress made around that?
Sure, and I may ask Jeff Bellarut, our COO, to...
I was looking for him, there he is.
There he is. So I'll just start, but ask Jeff to fill in. Certainly, the trucker experience is paramount to our overall success of the Gateway, and our commercial ops team has heard numerous times from the customers, although we're improving in that area, there's more room for improvement. And so part of our evaluation of the incentive program is to look at the performance of all aspects of the Gateway, including the gate yard operation. And in the meantime, we've had continuous outreach to the trucker community and the export community as well to get a better understanding of what's important to them, and then working with the terminal operators to improve the trucker experience. And maybe, Jeff, you can talk about some of the specifics there.
Yeah, you hit it well. And Commissioner Muhammad, I'm going to send you an email today about some of the things we're doing. We sent out a draft probably a month ago talking about some of the outreach programs. We have had a lot of listening sessions with various trucking community throughout both harbors, and we've heard a lot. And a lot of it was focused around some English language requirements, which my team has put together a program to help the trucking communities better understand the needs of the terminals, trucking rules. We now have standardized trucker rules for all terminals on our website. So we have put together a pretty robust program around the trucker experience that we'll make sure you get read in on.
And I imagine for the North Harbor, you're doing that in partnership with the terminal operators. Is SSA on board of that?
Oh, absolutely. Both with SSA, we've met with the African Chamber of Commerce, had a great discussion with those folks, as well as the Northwest Trucking Association, Washington Trucker Association. We've had a big outreach over the last 6 months.
Great. I look forward to your email.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Go ahead.
Fred
has one quick one.
Don't, before you leave.
Hold it, Fred. Go ahead, Commissioner Hasegawa.
Just wanted to lend my quick voice of support for this program, and thank you to staff for coming forward to us with this. And it's really well designed, and excited to see what we're going to do to be able to see the desired change of behavior in the market that we've been working for. So thank you.
Thank you. Fred?
I was just wondering, I've continued to get questions about truck parking up at North Bend. Is the timing for the ability to have some scheduling ability, is there somehow parking up there being seen as working in with the system? I mean, I know the ag exporters want to get two turns, timing it so you're not in traffic. Is this kind of holding lot something that is even in this overall network conversation?
In North Bend, you said?
Yeah, wasn't.
I'm not familiar with that project or that opportunity, but we can look at it. Sounds like someone else might be.
Lindsay Wolpa, Strategic Projects. In absence of my colleague Ryan McFarland, our Government Affairs Director, being here, our team is involved with those conversations alongside with the Port of Seattle staff right now and some of the King County residents. At this point, I don't know if it's directly tied to this, but we'll loop Jeff and his team in. This is something primarily that is not port trucks that are there, but we're definitely a part of this conversation along with the respective planning teams as well. So we are happy to follow up. I'll make sure Jeff knows the details and talk to Ryan following this as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I would just quickly add, separate from whether there's a formal truck parking opportunity in North Bend or other locations, we're exploring some opportunity with the trucking community of having maybe some underutilized licensed properties in each harbor where we could park trucks at night if necessary. So that's another option, and I think a potential good option.
Closer, better.
Yeah.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion or questions, all those in favor of the motion before us signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Hasegawa?
Aye.
Thank you. All those opposed? None. Carried. John, next item.
Okay, item B, 9B is proposed settlement with Puget Sound Keeper Alliance, the West Sikkim Terminal. And we have Dana Henderson, our general counsel, and Jason Jordan, our Director of Environmental and Planning here with us. Thank you both.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, CEO Wolf, members of the public. I'm Dana Henderson. I'm General Counsel for the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
Hi, Commissioners. I'm Jason Jordan, Senior Director for Environmental and Planning.
And with us today also is Heather Burgess, Outside General Counsel for the Port of Tacoma. We are here today seeking a dual action vote of the Port of Tacoma Commission and the Seaport Alliance Managing Members' approval of the final settlement of the Puget Soundkeeper versus Port of Tacoma litigation, and to authorize the execution and entry of a consent decree consistent with the terms of the agreed settlement proposal. Here is a very high-level overview of the background for this request. The Seaport Alliance has been directing and funding litigation on behalf of Port of Tacoma. As this case involves the West Sitcom Terminal, a Seaport Alliance licensed property, and involved two NWSA tenants, the prior tenant, APMT, and the current tenant, SSA. Also, I wish to note that per the terms of our lease with SSA, the Seaport Alliance has been defending and indemnifying SSA in this matter. We mediated this case in mid-November 2025 with a neutral third-party environmental lawyer and mediator, Rick Horder, who has been engaged with us since that time and helped us through further negotiations ever since. Our mediator has made a settlement proposal to the parties, recommending that each party give his proposal serious consideration in order to resolve this case. All parties have indicated an agreement to the mediator's proposal to settle the case, with the port and the NWSA's tentative acceptance, of course, subject to your approval and vote in a public session. Ultimately, I also wish to note that any settlement here would need to be approved by the court and memorialized in a consent decree. This is a very complicated case, but put simply, Soundkeeper claimed that defendants violated the Clean Water Act by not upgrading the stormwater treatment system at the West Sitcom Terminal and not sampling and treating wharf runoff. Oh, I'm advancing too quickly. In 2019, the Seaport Alliance paid for and completed installation of an approximately $13.5 million stormwater treatment system at the terminal, which has been working well and was found to be in compliance by the Washington State Department of Ecology. The parties dispute liability here, with the port interest and SSA arguing that sampling and treatment of the wharf runoff is not legally required and not required by the applicable permit, and the plaintiff, Soundkeeper, disputes this position. So this settlement would resolve this dispute and these claims and is not an admission of liability by any party. Council and staff are recommending the settlement to avoid ongoing risk, distraction, disruption, and expense. The terms of the mediator's proposal include that Soundkeeper will not sue the Alliance, the Port of Tacoma, or SSA for operations at the West Sitcom Terminal through January 1, 2030. The Seaport Alliance will pay Soundkeeper's claimed attorney's fees of $2.1 million. The Seaport Alliance will pay $500,000 to the Washington Stormwater Center for various studies and educational programming. The Seaport Alliance will purchase one Triveris sweeper for spill cleanup at the West Sitcom Terminal, with the potential for its use at other properties in the South Harbor. Our tenant SSA has agreed to several on-site demands to be funded and paid by them. Soundkeeper will withdraw all pending public records requests, and the defendants will pay a one-time $30,000 fee to Soundkeeper for its consent decree monitoring. The parties will release all claims with no admission of faults or responsibility by any party. As noted, this proposal was recommended by the mediator and is also recommended by Port and Alliance Council and environmental staff. We would ask that the Port Commission and NWSA managing members approve the settlement and enter a consent decree consistent therewith. Before I turn this back to Co-Chair Marzano, I did want to take a moment of personal privilege and extend my gratitude to the team that has carried us to this point, our hardworking and creative environmental team, led by Jason Jordan, including Mindy Keller, Anita Fichthorn, and Ben Neild. Heather Burgess and Elizabeth Black, our devoted home port counsel. Our outside counsel at the Foster Garvey firm, led by Brad Dahl, who have educated and guided us and been great advocates for the ports along the way. And our truly dogged mediator, Rick Horder. He was devoted to bringing the parties together here. I'm grateful for all of their work and appreciate each of them so much. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you. Because this action requests authorization from the Port of Tacoma Commission, in addition to the managing members for Alliance, I ask that a motion come from a Port of Tacoma Commissioner acting on behalf of the Alliance and on behalf of the home port. So with that, is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Ng, second by Commissioner Keller. So with that, questions and or discussions?
I'd like to start by expressing my appreciation of having a chance to put this long-winded battle behind us, and I believe moving forward, I have somebody whispering something. It's hard enough to keep my mind straight in the first place. I mean, you know, it's like focusing attention is not my strength. So anyway, it has been a long and sordid battle. 2017, I think, right? It started out. So we have a lot to do. We're not going anywhere. I've told the soundkeeper, you know, this is a long-term relationship. We either, you know, find a way to work together, or this is just a future of contention. And I believe putting this down allows us to move forward. I'm really sorry we're spending this much money on lawyers and not on clean water. That's their claim to fame. I believe we can do better going into the future, and just want to express my appreciation for all the work that you did.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, the motion before us, as previously stated, is to approve the final settlement of Puget Sound Soundkeeper Alliance versus Port of Tacoma litigation and authorize the execution entry of a consent decree consistent with the terms of the agreed settlement. This will be a dual action vote, which according to the bylaws are to be taken by a show of hands, even though Commissioner Hasegawa will have to be yelling. The votes of the Port of Tacoma Commission will count as both a vote for as managing member of the Alliance and as a commissioner for the home port of Tacoma. So all those in favor, please raise your hand. And Commissioner Hasegawa?
Aye.
Thank you. All those opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay, the motion passes. I want to thank you all for the work that you've done. It's never easy, never easy.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Next item.
Okay, thank you, Co-Chair Marzano. 9C is a dual action item between the Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma. It's an interlocal agreement between the two parties for use of a portion of 3401 Taylor Way for sediment transload. And with us today, we have Jim Voer, Senior Director of Real Estate, and Tyra Deffenbaugh, our Senior Manager of Real Estate. Welcome, both of you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Jim Voer, Senior Director of Real Estate for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I'd like to introduce the next dual action request. The Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance wish to execute an interlocal agreement for the port to use a portion of 3401 Taylor Way, commonly known as the Lock Dock site, in support of the Blair Waterway Program. The True Grid Remedial Action, one of the projects under the Blair Waterway Program, is scheduled to begin third quarter of 2026. As part of this project, a portion of the 3401 Taylor Way is necessary for sediment transload, dewatering, and related activities. No revenue will be generated by the port through any real estate agreement or transaction associated with this use. Instead, a contractor will be selected through a competitive procurement process and authorized to use the property for the approved operations only. I'll now turn it over to Tyra, Senior Real Estate Manager, to present the dual action request.
Thank you. So today we're here to ask for a dual action between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma, requesting authorization from the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance for its CEO and from the Port of Tacoma Commission for its executive director or their respective delegates to enter into an interlocal agreement in substantially the same form as presented regarding the use of approximately 4.8 acres, including non-exclusive preferential use of approximately 500 linear feet of dock space located at 3401 Taylor Way in Tacoma, Washington, commonly referred to as the Log Dock Site, starting August 1st of 2026. So a little background about the projects that will use this site. In 2018, the Port and the Alliance signed an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to conduct the Blair Waterway Navigation Channel Deepening Feasibility Study. And in 2022, that study concluded that deepening the Blair Waterway and widening it at its mouth, the middle reach, would have substantial return on investment. And in 2022, Congress approved the project and approved funding. As the design efforts have progressed, the Blair Deepening Program was developed. The program includes several interconnected projects, the first of which is the True Grit Remedial Action Project. So on screen is a map showing the various interconnected projects. As you'll see, the True Grit Remedial Action Projects is shown towards the middle of the map, highlighted in blue to begin Q4 of 2026. So for this True Grit Remedial Action Project, a portion of 3401 Taylor Way is necessary for sediment transload, dewatering, and the related activities. This interlocal agreement will allow the Port of Tacoma to utilize the site for these purposes. So as part of this agreement, the Port of Tacoma will not be subleasing this property to a tenant for sediment transloading. Instead, a contractor will be selected through a competitive procurement process and authorized to use the property for these purposes. No revenue will be generated by the port through any real estate agreement or transaction associated with this use. So a few key terms of our proposed agreement. It's at 3401 Taylor Way, approximately 4.8 acres, and non-exclusive preferential use of 500 linear feet of dock space. The term will start August 1 of 26 through March 31st of 27. Compensation to the Alliance from the port will be about $4,000 per acre per month, about $19,200 a month, and no assignment is allowed without prior written approval from both parties. So again, the Port of Tacoma will pay the Northwest Seaport Alliance a monthly compensation for use of the property for the duration of the agreement, and no revenue will be generated by the port through any real estate agreement or transaction associated with this agreement. So again, we're here to ask for a dual action, requesting authorization from the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance for its CEO and from the Port of Tacoma Commission for its executive director to enter into an interlocal agreement for use of approximately 4.8 acres, including preferential use of the dock space located at 3401 Taylor Way in Tacoma, Washington, starting August 1st of 2026.
Thank you very much. And just for my Port of Tacoma commissioners, Commissioner Bellman likes the idea of Tacoma paying the Alliance money. I just want to let you guys know that.
In exchange for the cruise
terminal. Okay. This is another dual action of the Alliance and the Port of Tacoma Commission, where the Port of Tacoma commissioners will be acting in a dual role for both the Alliance and the home port. So with that, is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Keller, second by Commissioner Feldman, to authorize its CEO and the Port of Tacoma Commission to authorize its executive director or their delegates to enter into an interlocal agreement in substantially the same form as presented regarding the use of approximately 4.8 acres, including non-exclusive preferential use of approximately 500 linear feet of dock space located on 3401 Taylor Way, Tacoma, Washington, starting August 1st. Is there discussion or questions? Commissioner McCarthy.
Commissioner Feldman hit on what my question was going to be, because it is kind of unusual. And I'm looking to the two of you, but I see David Morrison. He might have the answer to my question. So this is actually Port of Tacoma property. but it was licensed property when the charter was created in 2015, and they valued the property to go in to the charter arrangement. Do either of you know what the value was in 2015, what it was valued at in 2015 as part of the charter?
I do not.
No. Commissioner, I'd have to pull out the old agreements and pull and see that number. It was not a large contributor to the valuation.
Right. With regard to what the property's going to be used for, the projects, there's about six or eight of them. Are all of those just Port of Tacoma projects, or some of them Northwest Seaport Alliance projects?
So some of them, it's a mixed bag for the projects, but this particular ILA today is only for the True Grit project. The use for the other projects we'll have to bring back as a separate item.
But will the other projects involve using the same land?
Potentially, yes.
That's what my question is if some of the projects benefit the Alliance, shouldn't that be considered when you determine what the rent is the Port of Tacoma should pay the Alliance?
We did consider that. So 4,000 an acre is about half of market value for property in Tacoma. And so taking into consideration that some of the projects are port-led, some are going to be led by the Corps, and some are going to be led by the Alliance. So we took that into consideration. But moving it forward to use the property for the other projects that are listed, we'd have to come back for a separate action. The time frame is only for the True Grit project.
Understood. I just wanted to make sure that that was considered when you set the price.
And Commissioner, remember, you're getting half of that back.
Yeah.
So you're really paying $2,000 per acre.
I understand. Okay. Can we increase that? All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Feldman.
I have learned not to make jokes in private to Mr. Marzano. It was a joke. We have an ongoing issue with Terminal 46. I was just being facetious. But I do very much like the idea of port property being used to facilitate cleanup. We have a similar situation in the East Waterway, and the idea that if we have open space to facilitate getting this gunk out of the water, it's a great use of our space, and the fact that it's undervalued, it's actually more valuable to us to facilitate this otherwise very expensive process that is an obligation. So thank you for finding a creative solution.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, as before, this will be a Port of Tacoma acting as a dual role with the home port along with the managing members. So all of those in favor, please raise your hand. Commissioner Hasegawa?
Aye.
Thank you. All those opposed? Carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John?
All right. We're on to 9D. This has to do with our Husky Crane Northfall plug-in project at the Husky Terminal, and presenting today is Ellie Buliga, our engineering project manager. Ellie, welcome. Looks like Jim Vo is joining him.
I'm just doing the introduction.
All right.
Good afternoon again. Jim Vo, Senior Director of Real Estate for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I'd like to give a quick introduction to this next action request item. The purpose of this project is to energize Crane Power Volt at Crane Power Volt 2 at Husky Terminal, Pier 3, with power to enable crane relocation, which will maximize crane operating reach across the berth. The project is going to energize an additional crane vault with power to maximize crane operating reach across the terminal. This work is an NWSA obligation and a continuation of work started by the NWSA in 2019 with the arrival of the new Panamax cranes. I'll now turn it over to Ellie, project manager, to present action item.
Thank you, Jim. Good afternoon, commissioners. I am Ellie Blega, and I will be the project manager on this project. I am here to request the managing members to grant project authorization in the amount of $408,000 for total authorized amount of $558,000 for work associated with the Husky Crane North Volt plug-in project, identification number 2020-38. The Husky Terminal has 8 post-Panamax cranes on the screen there. And when 2 vessels call at Husky, Husky berths and positions those vessels in a way that allows a minimum of 4 cranes to work each vessel. So if you look at the vessel berth on Pier 3, it's cheating a little bit on Pier 4 to allow Crane 5 to work that vessel. These post-Panamax cranes run on 13.8 kV power, and their commission was completed in 2019. And during that transitioning period, Husky wanted to maintain partial operation of the terminal, so they kept the old 5 kV legacy cranes running. And when the transitioning or the commissioning of the new cranes was completed, the 5 kV cranes, the old ones, were decommissioned and removed, but the vaults in which those old cranes were plugged in were never energized, right? So if you look on the screen, CPV1 and CPV2, that's where the old cranes used to plug in. And when those old cranes went away, those vaults remained unenergized. So today, when the same 2 vessels call, but those vessels are shore power capable and those vessels need to be plugged in. So if you take the same vessel that was shown on the previous slide, right now highlighted green, and you shift it a little to the north to plug it into shore power, you get an operational issue because now crane 5 cannot reach that vessel. You can only have 3 cranes working that vessel. So as part of this project, we need to unplug crane 5 from Pier 4 and plug it into one of the vaults on Pier 3 to allow Husky to have a minimum of 4 cranes working on each vessel. This crane relocation will eliminate any future operational constraints, regardless of the size of the vessels that call at Husky or any business operations. And I do want to point out, commissioners, it's CPV1 and CPV2. Both those cranes were not energized. And for this phase, we are only energizing one of them, CPV2. CPV1, that vault is going to remain unenergized because right now there's no operational need for it to get energized. So the scope of work will include removing the existing 5 kV cables that used to service the old cranes. We're going to demolish those, get rid of them, and we're going to pull in the new 15 kV cables capable of the 13.8 kV power. The design of the project is complete. We'll be going out to bid this month. The contract will be awarded in July, and substantial completion is expected sometime in October. The funds for this project will be provided by the home ports through the standard capital project funding process. And the 2026 to 2030 CIP allocates $600,000 for this project. The total estimated budget for design and construction is $558,000. In conclusion, I request the managing members to grant project authorization in the amount of $408,000 for a total authorized amount of $558,000. For work associated with the Husky Crane North Vault plug-in, project identification number 202038. Any questions, commissioners?
Thank you. Do I have a motion and a second to that effect?
Also moved.
I'll second.
Commissioner McCarthy made the motion. Commissioner Cho seconded it. With regard to the action request, are there questions, discussions? I do have one. You mentioned, and I looked at that picture of the vessels there, and I know it's on a rare occasion, but if you have 2 vessels there, and one vessel, and I'll take the one at Pier 4, needed to use 5 cranes to finish the ship, would that crane still be available to go down there?
So yes, these cranes have a reach of 900 feet from wherever they're plugged in.
So it'll be able to go both ways, basically.
Okay,
thank you. Commissioner Feldman.
So if I understood you right, you said that it was the terminal operator that wanted to keep the 5K crane there. And right. So would there have been any cost savings had we moved them all at the same time?
One of the, yes, but on the same token, if you install conductors and you don't use them, right, if you don't know exactly when you'll be plugging them in, by the time you use them, they may not be usable. So you spend $300,000 on conductors. There's some savings from a mobilization standpoint by doing all the work at the same time. But if you come back 15 years later, you may not be able to use those conductors. Now you're spending the same amount of money removing the conductors and plugging in new ones.
So what was the time lag, though, between the cranes were just replaced, right? Not that long ago. So this is a matter of a year or two?
Correct, but we weren't sure when Husky's operations might change to where we would need to energize these vaults. So both the Alliance and Husky agreed just to wait until the business operations required us to energize these vaults.
But it was always an Alliance obligation.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions or discussions? If not, before us is the authorization in the amount of $408,000 for a total authorized amount of $558,000 for work associated with the Husky Crane North Vault Plug-in Project, project identification number 202038. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Asagawa?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none? Carried. Thank you very much. And John, 9E.
9E, Terminal 18 Paving Condition Assessment Project Authorization. And with us today is David Jones, our Capital Project Manager at the Port of Seattle. And looks like Aaron Light will be introducing this as well. Welcome, both of you.
Good afternoon. I'm Erin Light. I'm a Senior Real Estate Manager with the Alliance, and I'm here to give a brief introduction to the Terminal 18 Paving Condition Assessment Project Authorization. The purpose of this project is to evaluate the deteriorating pavement that we're seeing at Terminal 18, which is under a long-term lease with SSA. This assessment will help inform recommendations for site-wide repairs, give an idea of what the costs will be to proceed, and then give some additional guidance on the responsibilities between NWSA and SSA for these repairs. If left unaddressed, it is believed that the pavement will continue to deteriorate, so we support moving forward with this assessment to proceed with repairs strategically and thoughtfully. And with that, I'll turn it over to David Jones.
Good afternoon, I'm David Jones, project manager with the Port of Seattle, and I'm here today to request the managing members grant project authorization in the amount of $350,000 for total authorized amount of $700,000 for work associated with the T18 paving condition assessment. Little background on this, the paving at Terminal 18 is really, it's in poor condition and it's beyond its serviceable life. It's negatively impacting operational efficiency. It's putting undue strain on equipment and equipment operators. And the tenant frequently communicates safety concerns as a result of the paving conditions. The recent approach to paving out there has been that of temporary repairs, and that's been the main focus for the last multiples of years. So what we have out there now is a patchwork of small repairs, staying a half a step ahead of the most severe damaged areas. And there's actually dozens of steel plates out there covering problems with the pavement. We've completed a visual assessment, and as a result of that assessment, we've got a heat map, and this the next phase of our assessment is going to be to evaluate what's underneath the surface. But visually, the green areas on this map are the least damaged, yellow, moderate damage, and the red areas are the highest operational busy zones and have the most damage and are really presenting safety and operational issues. So with the additional funding, our intent is to complete the assessment of the paving conditions, make recommendations for repairs, and the associated cost of a long-term paving upgrade. the efforts connected with this would be completion of geotechnical testing, engineering analysis, production of a comprehensive report, and terminal-wide repair recommendations, and a conceptual estimate of the probable cost of what this repair would entail. And we should have this done by the end of the year. Source of funds are the Northwest Seaport Alliance operating income. The 2025 through 2030 CIP budget allocates $700,000 for this project. Costs will be expensed as they're incurred. The 2026 operating budget included $600,000 in expense for this, the other $100,000 coming from 2025. T18 is budgeted to provide approximately $34 million in cash in 2026. Financial summary, we're working with $350,000 right now. This request is for an additional $350,000 for a total of $700,000. Our costs to date are around $150,000. Request the managing members grant project authorization in the amount of $350,000 for a total authorized amount of $700,000 for work associated with the T18 paving condition assessment, project identification number N10674.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to that effect in a second?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Muhammad, second by Commissioner Keller. Discussion and or questions?
Hey. Wait, no, it's for Commissioner Muhammad did the second. Sorry.
Oh, well,
she did the motion.
I seconded.
Oh,
that's
right. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I just heard from this side.
I know. I so motioned I and Aang seconded.
Wait, but 1 second. Did you guys get that over there? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. Now, questions or discussion? I have a question, because once we go into this, there's no doubt we should not be surprised it's going to be very costly. When you come back, are you going to come back with the whole project, or will you let us know that if we do the red area, which is the most, this is what it would cost, the yellow, this is what it would cost, and the green?
Yeah, we'll all have that in mind as we move forward. The fact that because of operational impacts and financial
right.
realities, we're not going to be able to do this all at one time. And so we'll slice and dice this up in some logical sequence so that we can take this on one chunk at a time.
Thank you. Commissioner Feldman?
Yeah, I see part of it. It's on the wharf, so I would assume that would take on some priority. But the question I had, you used the word damage. So this is something other than just wear and tear? You see this as something, well, you said beyond the usual lifespan, that would suggest wear and tear, but you use the word damage.
Yeah, it's all based on use, aging, and just the wear and tear of that heavy use of the equipment out there.
Any other questions? Commissioner Keller.
I think this is more a point, but maybe it's a question, but I also know that the need for paving is also a safety issue. I've been on terminals where I see the divots in there, and it's actually fairly unsafe to operate. Cargo moving vehicles, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oh, Commissioner Hasegawa?
Aye, sorry.
Yeah, that's quite all right, thank you. Opposed, seeing none, all those, thank you for your work, that passed. Thank you. John.
Okay, last item on the action agenda today is 9G. That's the first reading of mainline bunkering at Pier 17.
You
missed that.
You're one item.
I appreciate you trying to expedite this thing, John, but we better take care of everything.
Let me back up. Sorry, Aaron.
No.
T18 doesn't quit.
9F. T18 Transtainer Runs Project authorization. And with us today is Aaron Light.
Thank you. Aaron Light, Senior Real Estate Manager, and I'm here to present the Terminal 18 Transtainer Runs Project budget and allowance increase authorization request. The formal request is, request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance grant an increased project authorization in the amount of $1,645,000 for a total authorized amount of $5,645,000 for work associated with the Terminal 18 Transtainer Runs Project Identification Number N10563. Some background to this request. In 2024, NWSA and SSA entered into a 10th Amendment to lease, and within this lease were guidelines under which SSA could complete a Transtainer Runs capital improvement project. Per the lease, SSA will manage, complete, and pay all project costs up front. NWSA will then reimburse SSA for all actual costs up to, but not exceeding, $4 million. And then following project completion, SSA will reimburse the NWSA through monthly payments of capital improvement rent, less any project management soft costs. At the time of the amendment, it was believed that the project would not exceed $4 million. However, as we are nearing completion, it is clear that the project will exceed this amount, and so we are now increasing an increase to the budget. This is an aerial showing the location of where the work is occurring on Terminal 18. Within the 10th Amendment, there is a provision that says once the project is nearing completion, should the final costs exceed $4 million, the parties can mutually agree to increase the project costs. Project costs were increased primarily around construction due to subsurface structures that needed to be worked through and conduit that was not anticipated. The project is anticipated to be completed in August, and so there is a greater accuracy for the anticipated final amount, and we are now recommending the increase of the authorization for this budget to $5,645,000. Of this amount, it will all be paid back to the NWSA as additional rent, excepting project management costs, which are estimated to be approximately $175,000. When the project is completed, NWSA and SSA will formalize this final amount via a letter, and in this letter, it will not exceed any amount approved via this action, and so the letter will not be brought to the managing members for further approval, and the lease will not need to be amended. In addition, the project total will be paid back to the NWSA with a 6% interest amount over a 10-year term. The financials for this project. The funds for this project are provided by the home ports through the standard capital project funding process. The 2025-2030 capital investment plan budget allocates $4 million for this project. The NWSA will collect $729,000 in extra rent per year for the 10-year period to recover the allowable costs for this project plus a 6% rate of return. The $5,645 million project cost will be capitalized and depreciated over the 20-year life at $282,250 per year and will be a depreciated expense. This will then be offset by the special revenue, again in the amount of $729,000 per year. In conclusion, I am requesting that the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance grant an increased project authorization in the amount of $1,645,000 for a total authorized amount of $5,645,000 for work associated with the Terminal 18 Transtainer Runs Project Identification Number N10563. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
It was moved by Commissioner Feldman, second by Commissioner Eng. I want to make sure that was taken care of. Discussion and or questions? Commissioner McCarthy.
I'm having a blank here. Tell me what a Transtainer Runs project entails.
So they are installing a runway, basically, for equipment to go here.
Can I explain it a little bit?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
It's the transtainers at Pier 4, John,
right,
that go over probably four or five containers width-wise.
Right.
And they need the weight underneath them for their legs because of how heavy the transtainers are. So when they talk about a transtainer run, they're only going up and down adjacent to the pier to lift those containers. And Husky, we had to do that years ago at Husky because of the weight of the transtainers.
Is this the same area we're going to pave, though?
No, this is different. This would be different.
So they're replacing the asphalt with cement? Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Then I had a question on the contract. The contract allows for reimbursement for Port of Seattle staff time, about $175,000. Do we do that on all projects in both harbors?
I can't speak to South Harbor. I don't know if Thais can, but for North Harbor, this is standard and how it was managed at T5.
Yeah, Thais Howard, Senior Director of Engineering for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I will say that we have not been consistent, not only between harbors, but also on projects. It just depends on being very project-specific and what the agreement is that we make with the tenant at that time. It has not been consistent over every project.
For consistency, do we need to delve into the
charter? We probably should look at that, because I will say, as this action item came up, we got that question internally from staff, is that we probably should now be going forward, is to be consistent on whether the soft costs are being covered by us or whether they're being covered by the tenant.
Great. Yes. Good to know. Thank you.
Good point. Commissioner Eng.
So I guess in kind of our speak, this would increase handling capacity, efficiency, any other benefits to the terminal, like with once this project is done, besides the one I said?
Yes.
Are there more benefits?
Well, I think the biggest one is going to be, I'm speaking operationally, they're going to be more efficient. And I know the question was asked about, is this in the same area as the pavement? In the area where they're putting the RTG runs, they're replacing the pavement sections. Now, we are in the future going to need to do some of the pavement still around this area, but it's going to increase the life of the pavement in that area, as well as prevent damage to that area or wear to the area, because there will be concrete runs instead of the asphalt runs.
Anything advantage about electrified cargo handling?
Not directly, no.
Okay.
Now, if they electrified the RTGs, they would still use these runs, but it's not a direct connection, no.
Commissioner Keller.
Is doing this project going to affect any project completion dates, to your knowledge?
I'm sorry, re-ask the question.
Oh, when you're doing this particular project, you have to have the transtainers still moving around, and is it going to affect any project completion dates?
Yeah, so I think because SSA is doing this work themselves, they are doing the work within their operation. So they're managing where they're doing the work, how it's impacting their operation. They're doing it all and coordinating
that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Hasegawa? Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. Now, John, you can get to that.
All right, 9G. Let's try it again. Terminal 18 transtainer, no, terminal, sorry. I'm thoroughly confusing myself. It is the first reading of Vein Lines Bunkering at Pier 17. And Jim Vo, our Senior Director of Real Estate, is here. Jim, take it away.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, again. Jim Vo, Senior Director of Northwest Seaport Alliance, and this is the first reading by the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance of the Pier 17 lease between Northwest Seaport Alliance and Vein Line Bunkering, LLC. I've got some maps up here. The Pier 17 is near the northeast corner of Harbor Island. A close-up of the pier is here with the colored area being part of the lease premise. And Vein Line Bunkering is current. They have a current lease that expires July 31st. They've requested a new term lease for an additional or an initial five-year term with two additional five-year options to extend. They've been a tenant at Pier 17 since 2023 and previously leased premises at Terminal 5 back in 2021. Vein is currently with all rental, obligations under their existing lease with strong history of paying on time. In addition to a longer-term commitment, their current lease was only for a two-year term, the new ones for five. And they will also be increasing their warehouse space from
2,648 square foot to 5,715, and the dock space from 500 linear feet to 725 linear feet. The office laydown and non-exclusive use areas will remain the same. And there are no capital expenditures associated with this lease, with the initial revenue of $311,686 with annual CPIU adjustments. And that concludes the first reading by the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance of the Pier 17 lease between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Bain Line Bunkering LLC.
Thank you. And because it is a first reading, there will be no vote taken, but discussion or questions are welcome. So any questions or discussion? Okay, I see none. But if anybody does have a question, please pass it along, you know, before our next meeting. Thank you.
I guess one observation. You know, it's just that
I knew I could get a question.
I know. It's just, you know, bunkering is the future of bunkering, of alternative fuels, having the capacity infrastructure there. So if they're increasing their footprint and whether or not they do the bunkering, whatever, it is a function that we should be supporting. So
yes.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That concludes our action items. So, John, if you want to introduce our general business.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Marzano. We have our update from the commercial ops group looking at Tom and Jeff. Do you guys have anything to update the commission on today?
Just a couple of items, commissioners. Good afternoon. Tong Zuqi, Commercial and Strategy Officer for the Seaport Alliance.
Can you speak into the mic a little closer, please?
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, I can. Is this better?
Thank you.
Okay. I first wanted to really thank all of you and leadership from ILWU and our own commercial team for staging two signature customer events in May. It's one of the busiest months for all of us. We had our ACTC annual meeting, which attracted more than 550 attendees from around the country. And this is our eighth year hosting this in Tacoma. And just the economic impact in the immediate sense range from $600,000 to $1 million just in that 3 or 4 days of time. So great work by our team for attracting and staging that for the eighth year. I know Steve and others are working hard and trying to anchor them for the next hopefully 5 years, if not 10 years until I retire. Also, I wanted to thank commissioners and others for making to our peak planning event, also happened in May. We were able to bring about over 100 customers and supply chain stakeholders together to really come to share best practices in the industry, but also talk about what are some trending events that we should all pay attention to. So I consider that another success. Lastly, I wanted to let you know we will be receiving an award, not just giving awards, but we'll be actually receiving one. It's Inbound Logistics Green 75th Award. We have been recognized for the 10th consecutive year as the Inbound Logistics Green Supply Chain Partner. I know where's our Commissioner Fellman. It is Inbound Logistics. It's not Green Marine. I think it's something different. But we're very proud. I know Jason, if I don't get off the stage, he'll probably show up and start dancing. So we're very happy. And I know Melanie and others who are looking to work on a press release when we have all the things gathered.
Excellent. I'll be quick. And we talk a lot about the benefits of first port of call vessels. What Steve Belaski presented earlier today is really some of the highlights. With first port of calls, we see increased on-time arrivals. With on-time arrivals, we see ERDs holding firm. Since we met last, we have had one of the vessels that calls Husky Terminal rotate from a Vancouver first port of call to a Tacoma first port of call. not only did we see an uptick in import rail, so just what we say, wherever that first port of call is where the import rail is going to go, that discretionary rail, we've seen an uptick in about 400 rail containers per vessel coming into Husky, so that's about two trains worth of incremental cargo. That's a big deal. And what we have done and what we're working with the marine terminals, our labor partners, as well as our operations at our NIM rail yard, is the speed to market. So we're now measuring our import dwell in hours and not days. We're working with all of those stakeholders to make sure the vessels are stowed properly, the vessels are worked with a priority on discharging that rail cargo and getting that directly onto a rail car. The first vessel that called, we loaded the first train out within 3 hours of those containers discharging. It was an incredible product, really West Coast leading. So those are some of the things that we're focused on. Next month, we'll be presenting to you all a highlight on our speed to market. As a gateway, we are industry leading, but we're not stopping there. We're going to figure out how to take hours out of that overall trip. We see that as what's going to differentiate our gateway from others. So that was just a teaser for what's to come next month.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion with regards to what Commissioner Keller?
Chef, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. I have appreciated all the weekly updates on the operational efficiencies that you're doing. You're making some really great strides, and I know that that helps us get to best-in-class service, which is one of our goals. And just want to thank you so much for the continued communication with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Well, thank you both. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
John, CEO announcements?
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, Tong had mentioned the AGTC conference, and she deserves a tremendous amount of credit for continuing to attract AGTC to Tacoma. That relationship is working really well, and we've received signal that as a result of the success this last conference that they're leaning into coming back for multiple years ahead. What's really cool about it is, you know, we see every day the economic impact of what's happening right down on our working waterfront in Seattle and Tacoma. Yet when you see 550 plus or minus people come into a community and attend a conference here from out of town, and they are staying at the hotels, spending money in the restaurants, seeing the sites and spending discretionary income in our community. It's another great example of the economic impact of our deep water ports and the trade that's coming through Seattle and Tacoma. And so I just wanted to highlight that because we are really excited that AGTC continues to call here in Tacoma Harbor, our home, for that conference. And more opportunity in the future there. Also, I wanted to highlight a really good news story. In partnership with the home ports, we're excited to share the launch of the new joint website highlighting our collective clean air work. You probably are well aware of this. This partnership with the home ports is instrumental in really highlighting the great work of this gateway cleaning up the negative externalities associated with our trade. And the website brings together information on the Northwest Ports Clean Air Strategy from our ports of Seattle, Tacoma, and the Seaport Alliance into one single source, which the public asked for from us. So our team came together and responded. And I think the community is really thankful to have that single source of access to information and a comprehensive source to understand our shared efforts to reduce maritime and port-related emissions across the Puget Sound region. So I encourage you all to take a look at it if you haven't already. The website is nwcleanports.com, and I think you'll find that there's some great information there and more work to be done. So with that, I will turn it back to Co-Chair Marzano.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate that. Commissioner's comment. I'll start with Commissioner Hasegawa in case she wants to say anything.
No, but thank you so much for a wonderfully run meeting, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any Commissioner Chuck?
Real quick. As you all know, we have the world's biggest sporting event happening in our region in about 2 weeks.
My daughter's softball game?
Yes. No, the World Cup.
Good.
And for my colleagues and those who might be watching, we have a very special activation plan at Terminal 46. I want to thank Jeff Bellarude, Lindsay Wolpa, and Kate Nolan. We are actually going to be wrapping 40-foot shipping containers in the flags of the countries that are playing here in Seattle. And on the day of each game, the T-46 cranes will be lifting up the containers with the with the flags of the countries that are playing in Seattle that day. And so I want to thank the staff for running with this idea. I know it took a bit of a push, but I know, and you've been working really hard to get it done. We found a creative way to wrap the containers and the flags. And I also want to give a shout out to the ILWU, who volunteered hours to move those containers and put them up on those cranes and work the cargo terminal all the others who are involved. So if you're ever in Seattle during the World Cup, make sure you look out on Terminal 46 and see those flags hanging from those cranes.
Perfect. Great. Any Commissioner Keller?
I was talking with some of our ag exporters, and I'm going to ask you a question, John, if you heard this, because I was at WPPA and I wasn't able to hear any of this. The high diesel prices and fertilizer and all of that, it's causing a lot of issues for exporters in Eastern Washington in particular. And in fact, a lot of family businesses have talked about closing. Did they talk about that at AgTC as well?
For sure. The inflationary pressures that are hitting our exporters, and particularly the ag farmers, farming communities, is a topic of discussion and one of concern for all of us, and should be for the state of Washington. It's part of the fabric of this state and the economic engine that moves this state along. So I wish there was an easy answer to it. We are going to spend more time over in Eastern Washington, and I know many of you have done the same. And finding ways to make it easier for them to perform their business here when they do is part, maybe a small part of what we can do, separate from what's going on a global issue that is mostly out of our control. I do think that our federal government and even the state needs to take a hard look at the farming community and what's happening with farmland, and how we can maintain those farms and the farmers that commit to growing those crops that are feeding the world. So it's a real issue. It's one major concern and something that we need to continue to focus on. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I think it's so frustrating to continue to hear, well, they're going to come down soon. They're going to come down soon anytime. It's not happening. And it's just like, I feel sorry for them as well.
Commissioner Ng.
Thank you. First of all, happy Pride. In Tacoma, we celebrate it in June and July. We get 2 months because we know it's all over the place in June, so we also did it in July. So we have extra rainbows in the summer. I also did want to congratulate the commercial team every year for getting AgTC in Tacoma, because it really is a big deal, what it brings to the economy. But I think especially for our gateway, it highlights our harbors. Both our harbors, that they are so curious to see what we're doing. We get the agricultural business, the exporters, the importers, shippers, as well as the maritime, governance community. And I think it's great that it's here. And I think it's one of the most interesting conferences. It is the most direct, engaging, raw, and the most interesting snacks. I've never had blueberry flavored almonds, watermelon flavored raisins, and it's like a mountain. Like, I'm just going to say, it is, it's one of the fun port conferences that highlights our gateway, and I'm so proud that you brought it here. I really am. And people talk about it with me all when I travel. The other one is, despite this rough economy and we're experiencing such trade turbulence, I did want to highlight what Jeff Bellarude talked about with regards to being first ports of call. because I do sometimes look at the positive side and the silver lining. I read this article, and I kept on clicking on different parts of it, from the American Journal of Transportation, saying the Northwest Seaport Alliance Husky Terminal proves speed advantage with first port of call, and how we welcome the inaugural vessel under the port rotation of FP2 service from ONE. It goes from Singapore through Southeast Asia, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, through Korea, back to us. And it goes to the Seaport Alliance first and not to Vancouver. And we showed how fast we can deliver. And at first I was just like, I didn't care if it was earned media or paid, because I was like, this is great paid media. It's like, I was going to congratulate our marketing staff. I was like, I don't care if you paid for this. These are great articles, because it got into many journals. But I heard, when I heard that it was earned media, that this was actually picked up by the press, I was even happier. And so this is the kind of thing I think that we can show our value proposition to the world, that when we get it first, it matters the whole process, not just, how much is the cost now, but if it costs less because we do it faster, we get it done and we're reliable, and we can show that to the world, I think that's the best. So I did want to congratulate, the operations team, the commercial business team, and of course, our labor partners, ILWU, who got this done. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Froman.
Well, I was really appreciative to hear about the joint website. I'm looking forward to seeing how it's sliced and diced, because I know communities don't really care whether it's a port property, a licensed property. They want to know what's in their airshed. So it's always been a little confusing to try to explain these things. So having it all in one place, it's also a great sign. I don't know if we already summarized, but, back in the end of April, we went to... Commissioner Keller and I went to South Central Alaska and Southeast Alaska to look at the various port developments going on there, and it's quite extraordinary, and I think there's really very much a positive signs for our Jones Act carriers, and also I think it's really great that it's a bipartisan thing, that having the joint relationship with Alaska, I think we can leverage into all sorts of other mutually beneficial things for maritime, and I encourage us to continue going there. I did attend peak planning, and somebody gifted me a giant pear for leaving. That's the first time I ever was gifted a pear. It was a substantial pear, and but I must say, though, the news isn't great, and the idea that it's not just the high cost of fuel, but these trade patterns are shifting, given our situation. The fact that FIFA might be a bust, it's like people don't love America right now. And this is having tremendous amounts of trickle-down effects. And we know when trade routes change, they don't necessarily come back. Our hay exporters were expressing concern about this. This is our number one volume, folks. So this is of concern. And John, you got your work cut out for you. Hope to support you as best we can. And just to note that the 8th is World Oceans Day. And June is Orca Month, whatever that's good for. But I just thought it's oceans and orcas, what's not to like? Anyway, thanks so much.
Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Wilcox.
Thank you. I just want to thank the staff at both ports. I referred off the record a little while ago to my profound ignorance about some things involving this, because I'm new, and I asked for a very detailed tour of both harbors, and I got that, probably a lot more than I could absorb, including from the water, thanks to Aero Marine Group, and I tend to understand harbors way better from the water, because I've been around them from the water. So thank you so much to the staff members that helped me with that. Just two other things. I ran into, not in connection with ports, but just coincidentally because of some other activities. First of all, the person responsible for promotion of the Tri-Cities area intermodal facility. And they are very excited about what is happening. I thought I should share that with the group, and also happened to be around the, I believe, the largest single entity egg producers in Montana not long ago, and I think a bunch of them are going to come down and want to inspect the facilities that handle their products, and they're super excited.
Good. Anything else? I'll conclude with just thanking staff as always, but also want to thank my fellow Port Commissioners for the dedication work that they do to make us move forward. So with that, it is now 1:50. No further business. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.